If the other side in your divorce is telling you that your lawyer isn't doing their job, hold on. Before you spiral and fire your attorney and light everything on fire, we need to talk. Because sometimes it's not your attorney. This is part of the strategy. You're going to hear more about it on this episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce. If you're going through a divorce or you're thinking about getting a divorce, then this is the podcast for you. We give you the unpopular opinions no one else is talking about that will save you thousands of dollars on your divorce. Hosted by Morgan Stogsdill, the head of family law at the largest family law firm in the country, and comedian Andrea Rappaport, we're going to hold your hand, we're going to help your heart, and you will avoid the biggest divorce mistakes. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. You know that feeling when you're like, oh, I'm getting shit done. I'm a grown-up, checking things off my list. I finally dropped my car off to be serviced. After like my car was like yelling at me, like you are 600 miles past due. You are 700 miles past due. Well, I let it go to 1600 miles past due. I just dropped it off. So that's a victory. I think everybody lets that shit go, right?
Well, also, I feel like the more you drive it, you're at 1600, nothing's happening, right? So it's kind of like, are you messing with me or should I show you? I don't know.
I don't know either, but it makes me think like, are we gaslighting ourselves? Is the car messing with us? And I guess there's so many correlations here to what we're talking about today because you don't know what's going on. Is there something really wrong with my attorney? Is there something really wrong with my car? I'm just going to keep my blinders on, keep going, keep my fingers crossed, hope for the best. I do have to say, I felt very smart because I did not take my car to the dealer because I have learned my lesson. I normally do that because it's the easiest thing to do, you know, because your dealership also calls you and says like, oh, come on in. We'll give you a donut, a cappuccino, and then we'll gouge you for everything you have. And now I'm just like clutching. I've got the death grip on my phone right now, waiting for them to call me to say, actually, you do need a new transmission.
Actually, you do owe me $1 million. Okay, mm-hmm. So let's hop into this conversation because I am seeing this a lot with my clients and it always has been a thing, but it's coming up more and more here where the other side is making comments like your attorney is just running up your bill. Your attorney isn't being responsive. Your attorney is totally off base. You should fire your attorney or we're waiting on you. And the reality is that when clients hear that about their attorney, the person they're supposed to be trusting to get them through this process, they panic. But in reality, one thing I want you to know is, could it be leverage? Meaning the other side's trying to get leverage on you.
That's what's so interesting, because I think that you're going through a divorce, so naturally, you're not going to be super trustworthy of what your soon-to-be ex is telling you because you're kind of wired to think, like, they're saying this to get under my skin. But then the more you hear it, you start to think, well, hold on. Is there truth to this? Especially when your ex says things to you like, well, my attorney's just waiting to hear back from your attorney because that's what they always say. And then you think, okay, is there truth to that? Are they straight up making this up? Is their attorney making this up, or is my attorney not getting back to them on something? And if they're not getting back to them on something, is there a strategy behind that? But what happens in our minds is we start spinning and spiraling, and we're thinking, hold on, am I getting screwed? Did I really hire the wrong person? And is my divorce going to turn into a total disaster?
Yeah, and it's normal to think like that, but I want to preface this show with the fact that in real life, as a divorce lawyer myself, I would say maybe 20% of the time or less, it is a problem with the other side's performance. The lawyer isn't doing their job, they're not getting it together, but 80% of the time, it's the other side, your ex or your ex's lawyer trying to get leverage, pressure you, or make you think that your lawyer is doing something wrong. And we've kind of hit on this term before, but I want to bring it up again. It's something that therapists, it's a new thing that therapists are kind of talking about. It's called splitting. And this is something that happens in divorce cases where the other side tries to say a lot of bad things about your lawyer to try to make you mistrust your lawyer or split you from your counsel. So let's talk about when you're most likely to hear these things. The first thing, and the majority of the time, and this happened to me again this week, is when the other side is backed into a corner. So where is that happening? Let's talk about mediation. The first proposal comes over. It's absolutely horrendous. You respond with an absolutely horrendous counterproposal. Now everyone's amped up. That doesn't mean mediation is not going to work. And I want you to go back to our mediation episode if that's where you are in your divorce. We have to create some movement there, and that's what we're doing. But what happens when somebody gets an offer they don't like is, what do? They start to shift the blame.
So why is it that we believe it? If we know because our attorney has prepped us to say, like, this is what's going to happen, right? Why do we still doubt?
I think it's human nature. And I also think that as a client, you've never been through this process before. You're not a divorce lawyer. You don't know. And you're really putting a lot of trust in your divorce lawyer. So ultimately, you're looking at your spouse or your ex-spouse, and that's the person that you've trusted your entire marriage. And so now everything feels like you can't trust it. So I think it's human nature to question.
Yeah. You've been wired to trust this person. So even though now there's been some sort of trust that's been broken, it's still like in your muscle memory to think like, well, maybe they're right. I've always trusted them. Okay, so we're talking about when people are feeling backed into a corner, and that's when they're going to start splitting and telling you that your attorney is the problem. What do we want people to do instead of like buying into this? Part of the reason why your divorce is getting so expensive is because you're making mistakes. And that is exactly why Morgan and I took time to create the new and improved Divorce Crash Course. This is a private podcast and an online guidebook that holds your hand so you avoid the most expensive mistakes that people make in their divorce. It's $50, thanks to our friends at Our Family Wizard and SoberLink, and it is a game changer. Rec link in our show notes. Go get your hands on the new Divorce Crash Course.
The first thing I want you to do is talk to your lawyer about what's going on the other side and what they're saying, because most of the time your lawyer will say, well, this is totally normal for people to do this, and here's why they're doing it. And here's what you can expect. Like, for instance, I just counseled a client this week. Let's call her Brenda. And if you know our podcast, we always talk about our favorite couple, Chad and Brenda.
It's Chad and Brenda.
So I have Brenda, and Brenda is about to respond to a mediation settlement proposal. And what I told Brenda is, look, this is the first response we've done. You're not going to get a good reception. We could effectively agree to everything but one thing that Chad asked for. And Chad is still going to tell you, your lawyer's an idiot. This is a stupid response. You shouldn't trust them. And what are you doing? And why is that? That brings us to our number two point. They want leverage. So this is a big one. So if they can get you to doubt your lawyer, question your strategy, or feel some urgency that may not even exist, they're gaining leverage because it's going to make you either mistrust your lawyer or try to come off of your position that you otherwise beforehand thought was a good one.
And that's where we get reactive, because then we don't necessarily recognize that they're just going in for leverage. And again, we emotionally respond, and that's when we tend to fire back at our lawyer. I'm hearing that no one's responding. I'm hearing that no one's doing this. You need to do this. You need to do this. Or maybe we just agree to this because they're saying that this is a terrible offer. That's when you start to not trust the person who is your guide through the woods here.
The minute you buy into that or start worrying or start pushing their timeline, like, okay, fine. I'm going to come off this point and we are going to agree to this. And they say that we're not responding. So can you respond by the end of this week? Well, guess what you've just done? They've shifted the dynamic, and now you're feeding into their leverage.
But I want to be mindful here of how often we talk about your expenses and how every time you go to your attorney with something, that that's billable time. So can we back up for a second and help people see, when do you actually present this information to your attorney? And when can you answer the question yourself so that you're not costing yourself double?
Well, I'm glad that you said that, because that's exactly why we do this podcast for free. You're getting the information on this podcast that you need to know to prepare yourself for when this response comes in. If you still at that point, after you listen to our podcast and you get a response or a proposal, or you're getting pressured, don't feel comfortable and it's eating at you, that's when I want you to use your lawyer. Of course, we want you to save dollars. But at the end of the day, if you're walking around and it's just bothering you and you can't move forward, or you're thinking, man, maybe I should come off of that position and we should just get this done and I'll just lay down and just give Chad everything he wants, that's when you want to talk to your lawyer for a little bit of a gut check.
When we're talking about somebody not responding, let's talk about that for a minute, because that is something that I feel like we hear all the time in the private community. The other side keeps saying that it's my attorney who's holding things up, that they're waiting on a response from my end. I've given my attorney the answer. I don't know whether my attorney really hasn't responded or not. How often is that the reality? And or how often is it that now the attorneys are kind of just going at each other to be obnoxious and to sort of pass the buck?
So it's interesting you said that, because I think we talked about this, you know, the last two episodes, which really is, you need to know what the timeline, the true timeline looks like, not the timeline that's made up, not your made up timeline. You need to know from your lawyer, like, when are things due? Or if we received, for instance, a settlement proposal, when do we expect to respond? What's the timeline? I think asking for a timeline from your lawyer is appropriate. It's not appropriate, like, for instance, a lot of times this deals with documents, your question, right? So one side will say, well, we're waiting for your side to respond to documents. And then let's just say it's Brenda again.
Brenda?
Brenda says, well, I gave all the documents to my lawyer. Again, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't give your documents to your lawyer and then that day or the next day, everything is magically put into a box with a bow on top and delivered to opposing counsel. Remember, good lawyers have 80, 100 cases on their docket with their team working on other people's cases, and they're under deadlines, and you are under a deadline too, but it's not going to be tomorrow. So I think it's realistic to have a conversation of when you can expect things to happen. And again, in the private community, if it's bothering you because they keep saying your lawyer's not responding, your lawyer's unresponsive, ask your lawyer, say a quick email. This is what I'm hearing from my ex. Can you clarify the timeline? At times, you might talk to your lawyer and maybe not responding is a strategy. So not everything has a deadline, and sometimes non-responsiveness or delaying it slightly is a strategy.
What's that strategy?
I made a very strategic decision.
It could be that we have someone like Chad who is just completely erratic on top of everyone and thinking that they're going to control the process. And when they're not getting what they want, they get more inappropriate, more controlling. And at times, lawyers may say, well, listen, if we respond to his demands and do it, you know, what he wanted yesterday, we're going to only feed into his control. It's not going to stop his control or trying. It's going to only amplify it. We've talked about control in other episodes. So that's just one reason why maybe you wouldn't want to respond in their timeline.
My brain went to give someone enough rope to hang themselves. If you know that the other party ramps up their bad behavior when they don't get exactly what they want, well, then maybe the court needs to see some bad behavior to prove the point. So maybe this lack of response, I mean, it's a little bit manipulative, but like, what in life isn't? Maybe we're teasing them a bit and saying, okay, let's see what happens when you don't get exactly what you want. And then boom, we've given you the rope. You've hung yourself. We've proven our point. Checkmate.
The biggest takeaway I hope that people get from listening to this podcast is that they make better decisions, but being proactive and not reactive.
But being proactive about your divorce can come with a lot of really big, uncomfortable feelings, especially when it pertains to your kids.
That's why I want you to consider using the co-parenting app to help with communication. We want you to look at the most court-respected app, Our Family Wizard.
Visit the landing page that we created together. There is a ton of useful information, and when you're ready to make the next step, Our Family Wizard is ready to support you.
Visit ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck20 to save 20% off your first year of the Essentials Package.
We say this in jest, but also seriously, that divorce is like a chess game. It truly is. You want to think of divorce like a business deal and a chess game. You have moves, they have moves.
Friends, here's what I would want you to do. Be aware that there might be a game going on, and that game might be initiated from your side, or you could be the one who the game's being played on. Don't play into it. If someone is fucking with you and not giving you the response that you need, yes, you should be proactive, but keep in mind, this is not the time to lash out and act erratically. And if the other side is acting erratically, here's where we're going to channel Mel Robbins. Let them. Let them. Don't get in the way of them hanging themselves. It'll all play out. The cream rises to the top.
That's kind of gross to think about, but anyway.
Ew, I didn't mean like that. I think it's like a saying. I thought it had to do with coffee. Shit.
Maybe my brain went somewhere inappropriate. But the other reason why they're potentially lashing out to you and saying your lawyer is awful and not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're feeling the pressure. Maybe your lawyer is doing a damn good job and they're feeling the pressure. You just need to know in advance that this might happen. And so at times when really good lawyers are very, you know, on top of their game and maybe aggressive, that's when you see a lot of this behavior. So they're feeling the financial pressure, the time pressure, the legal pressure, and you may be stressed out, but again, take a step back. Maybe your lawyer is doing a fantastic job.
You have to think back. How does my spouse typically react to pressure? Do they become really reactive? Do they become super manipulative? Or does it only encourage them to get more strategic? Some people, like me, I tend to do well under pressure. So depends on what it is. Not if it's my car, I'll ignore it. But if it's like, you know, something else, then I'm like, okay, game on. Let's put on our thinking caps and go. So think here. Again, this is what is so messed up about divorce. It's all emotional. It is all emotional. This is dissolving a union that you got into because you wanted to have a life with this person, right? But in order to get through this process, it's mental, and you have to make the emotions go away. Well, how the hell do you do that? How do you do that? Well, that's why you listen to this podcast. We are here to help you validate the emotions, but say, okay, all of these feelings, you guys are going to go into this little box right now. Going back to that box that Morgan said doesn't exist with the bow on top, that's where I want you to put your feelings right now, because your feelings are going to come out of that box and make things wackadoo. It's just going to be wackadoodle time.
It's wackadoodle time. It is wackadoodle time.
And it's going to make things really hard to see, because what we've been talking about, when everything actually is going according to plan and your ex is making it seem like it's not, and it's your attorney's fault.
Blaming your attorney is the easiest narrative out there, because that's the person that you have to trust. So if you are feeling a little agitated or don't know the path, blaming your lawyer is a really easy narrative, but it will backfire on you, because remember, you hired your lawyer for their expertise. Hopefully you didn't go to Joe Schmo down the street. You went to somebody who knows what they're doing. Don't turn on them, because they are doing their job.
That's why the other side is saying that your lawyer is a total dumbass because they know that you trust this person and they know that you used to trust them. So a lot of that is a real strategic move. Again, it goes back to that idea of splitting. I'm going to attempt to separate Brenda from her attorney, because if she doesn't have her attorney in her corner, then she has nothing, and then I can get what I want. So realize that, you guys, this is all part of their strategy. They know that now you have aligned with this person because you're losing the person who helped you get through the woods.
Or another way to think about it is they want Brenda to get rid of Morgan because Morgan is doing a fantastic job. And Morgan is stressing Chad out. And the minute that Brenda gets rid of Morgan, any other lawyer in Chad's mind is going to be better to deal with than Morgan. That's how people think.
Also, they know how much this is costing you because in most cases, the money is still shared. So they're seeing how much money Brenda or Chad is spending on Morgan. So they're saying all this money that you're throwing out to this attorney who's doing a terrible job, by the way, that's money that could have been used for the kids' college funds. Wow. Looks like you really don't care about the kids because you are spending every single penny on this attorney.
That's right. And that's a huge one. We see that all the time. Even in the most basic of cases, that's the easiest place to go to try to get you to be split from your attorney. Look at your attorney and how much money they're spending. And it's usually the person, let's just say Chad is the one with all the access to documents and all of the assets. And Brenda has no idea. And I know that's sexist and we could flip it around. But, and I'm not saying that's usually the point, but let's just put that into this kind of narrative currently. When that happens, of course, Brenda's attorney is going to be spending more money because they don't have access to the information. So Chad is going to easily say to Brenda, I'm going to stress her out money-wise. I'm going to say you're spending way too much money with your lawyer. Look at how much inappropriate amounts of funds that are going out the door to your lawyer, and that's going to be less in your pocket. It's the easiest way and the easiest narrative to get the person to start wondering whether their lawyer is the right one.
And if you are falling into that category, here's a big action step, my friends. Listen up. This is where you do need to have a conversation with your attorney and say, okay, we know that I do not have access to certain things, and that's delaying a lot of this. What we need a strategy, we need a plan. And you have to know exactly what that plan is and what a realistic timeline should be. So if you know that things are getting held up because you do not have access to stuff, or you have been in the dark about finances, you've got to be the big boy, the big girl here and say, okay, realistically, how long is this going to take? What are the steps? What's on my to-do list? What's on your to-do list? And when are we getting this done? And that will help you feel calmer.
80% of the time, in most of my cases in the last 20 years, there's not an issue with either side's attorney. And I would say most of the time, you will hear one side trying to split the lawyers. But there is that 20%, or maybe a little less, depending on, you know, where you are, of times where maybe the lawyer is the issue. And so now we're going to flip-flop the episode to talk about that.
Am I the problem?
Maybe I'm the fucking problem. That didn't even sound right.
I mean, Morgan, have you ever been the issue?
I would like to think no, right? But at the end of the day, if you think about it, there's so many puzzle pieces in a divorce. There's so many personalities in a divorce. There's so many things that have to kind of match up to get a divorce done. So, I mean, I think I would be ridiculous to say I've never been a problem.
What's a problem, though? I mean, I think the only thing that comes to my mind is deadlines. But where are some areas where it actually could be the attorney?
All right. So a few things, and I'm going to rattle these through, that really kind of make me irked when I'm dealing with opposing counsels that are not doing their job. Number one, they're not responding in a reasonable time or meeting deadlines. And that could be court deadlines. It could be mediation, mediator set deadlines, those kind of things. There are deadlines for a lot of things we're doing in the divorce process. Number two, the other side is consistently sending emails or letters calling out deficiencies from your lawyer. Like when you responded, you didn't attach the appropriate documents, and I want you to respond the appropriate way pursuant to this law. If you're seeing all these documents coming over saying that your lawyer didn't do things the correct way pursuant to law, those are things that may make you want to perk up. And then the other thing I would say is that if you're in mediation and the other lawyer or the other side, they're asking for things that just never would happen in a million years and they're stuck on it, and even the mediator is saying, this is weird, that might be that it's truly the lawyer's issue.
We're wired to trust the attorney. So how are you going to know if these are wacky things that you're, because your attorney is saying, no, 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 seriously, you can keep the horse and the stables and the castle.
Yeah, the castle is a big one. The way that you would know is if you're in court, let's just say that your lawyer has told you, and most lawyers, good lawyers, do not say 100% we're going to win this. But let's just say your lawyer's like, there's no shot we're losing this. This is a slam dunk. And you get to court and you're in court with your lawyer and the judge is like, counsel, this isn't even legally possible. There's no law that supports this, what you're asking for. Or the judge is really hammering your lawyer as opposed to the other side. That should cause you to perk up. There's always lawyers that have a bad day with a judge here and there, but if it's constantly your lawyer that's getting the short end of the stick, you gotta watch that. The other thing you would see is if you're in mediation, the mediator is really there to get a deal done. And so if the mediator is kind of going toe-to-toe with your lawyer, and most good mediators will if your lawyer's taking an unreasonable position, you're watching it. And if you're not in the room to watch it, at times, if you're getting concerned, I've had this happen many times, ask as the client, say, I want to be in the room when the mediator is talking to my lawyer so I can kind of see what's going on.
Is your attorney going to respond well to that?
I think if your attorney is doing a good job, they have no concerns about having the client in. There's certainly times where the client should not be present because you just cut to the chase so much more, so much faster without clients present. And sometimes it's not the best idea to have clients present because unfortunately, attorneys have to put on a show then. And it costs you more money if there's a show going on. And a lot of times I'm honest with the client. I say, listen, if you want to come, that's fine. But if you want to come and your ex is coming and their lawyer's coming, then everyone's going to be putting on a show and this is going to cost you dollars out of your pocket.
You mentioned before that if you're seeing emails that are coming through from opposing counsel that's saying, you know, you are not acting in pursuant to the law, is that ever bullshit?
Or it is bullshit at times, right? So it's, and I'm not saying you get one of those and you're like, oh, my lawyer's bad. That's not accurate, right? It's one of those times where you have to kind of look at the totality of circumstances. It's like if every day things keep piling up, and it's all pointing fingers at your lawyer, maybe you need to look at your lawyer. Let's just talk about discovery documents. Chad is supposed to hand over his discovery documents to Brenda. Chad misses the deadline. Chad then gets a 201K letter, that's what we call, which is a deficiency letter. You're deficient, Chad. You've missed the deadline. And it, in different jurisdictions, it could be called other things. But basically, you're saying the deadline came and went. We need your documents. You didn't provide it. Maybe Chad's saying, well, holy shit, I didn't even know I had to provide these documents. Or why didn't these documents go out on time? So now Chad truly has some kind of concerns or questions for his lawyer. And then let's just say he gives his lawyer the documents and they still don't go out on time. And then now Brenda has filed a motion against Chad saying, we've tried three times. He hasn't given us anything. And now we're upset and we're going to court. At that point, that's a culmination of all these events with Chad and his lawyer to say, hey, why didn't these go out? You had them. And I provided them when I got the notice that I needed to, and the timeline wasn't met. So those are all discussion points with the. So the takeaway here is you're paying attention to a culmination of problems that likely are coming out of your lawyer's office. And I want to say this. This is pretty nuanced. I don't see this all the time. Okay. This is, you know, in every 100 cases, maybe we're dealing with it in 5. And the reality is if you've got two good lawyers from two reputable firms on both sides, these things aren't happening. And if they are, if there's little things here and there, it's probably just a posturing thing between counsels. So I want you to just take a deep breath, but I also don't want you to dismiss the culmination of a million problems.
You mentioned that I want to go back to is the judge. This is a big one. You could be working with an attorney that's doing a great job. That's a really good attorney, but there is something amiss between your attorney and the mediator or your attorney and the judge. So what do you do there? At what point, Morgan, is it appropriate for you to say, does the judge not like you? Like, does there's something going on here? And do we need to maybe put somebody else on the case who has a better relationship with our judge?
It's a culmination, right? I wouldn't do it the first time that your attorney gets their, you know, rear end handed to them in court. Could be the judge woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Could be they just didn't like the argument. It could be that they didn't like what your lawyer was wearing. You win and lose in these cases. You do. The best thing that a lawyer can do in those types of cases is hedge what could happen. Give realistic percentages of what potentially could happen so that if you lose, you're prepared for it. If you win, you're pretty much prepared for it. But what I'm saying is if every time your lawyer steps in front of that court and the judge is just hammering them every time and deferring to opposing counsel every time, there might be an issue with the position your lawyer's taking.
Overall, one of the big points of this episode is you're looking for patterns. You can't make any kind of decision based on a one-off experience. This is all, even going back to what we talked about at the beginning with the splitting. If your ex makes a comment once, yeah, your dog ears might perk up, but that's not a massive red flag. Everybody's going to behave a little bit differently when you're going through a divorce. So what we want you to do is have the knowledge, but not be so reactive. So with that, let's do a recap, Morgan, of everything that we want somebody to walk away with from this conversation.
All right. So the first thing I want you to think about, the other side is starting to talk trash about your lawyer, whether it's they're wasting your money or the settlement proposal was ridiculous or they're not responding. The first thing I want you to ask yourself is the other side feeling the pressure? Because what they're saying doesn't make it true. Sometimes it's actually a sign that your side is doing something right and they're feeling the pressure.
What about when we're accusing somebody of not responding to deadlines? How do we know if that's part of the strategy or if your attorney is just lying on a beach somewhere sipping a Mai Tai?
Again, a pattern, but also having a realistic conversation with your attorney about what deadlines there are outstanding and what you can expect from them. And if you're getting things late from your attorney, that's definitely a problem.
I don't think this is an unpopular opinion, but like this is certainly my opinion. Why do you care what your ex is saying to you? Like if your ex is like, well, Andrea, this is being held up because of your attorney. Okay, great. Go fuck yourself. I don't give a shit. And it's costing us more money. What's costing us more money? What? It's only costing me more money if I go and I email my attorney right now saying, you're not doing this, this, and this. And my ex says that, you know, you're holding this up. Well, then you just cost yourself more money. But listen, if Chad is emailing his attorney every day, barking up the tree, well, then Chad's costing himself money. That ain't on you.
And the unpopular opinion is this, it's the reality of human nature is that if you have been in a controlling relationship for quite some time, even though you've drawn the line in the sand during a divorce process, it's still pretty easy to be controlled. And what's your job? Your job is to stay grounded, stay informed, and stay focused on the facts when this is happening.
It goes back to what we said before. It's because this is rooted in emotions. It's rooted in emotions, and we have to put those emotions in a big, cushy box, and we have to think. I hate that. I hate it so much. And I also hate chess as much as I hate getting my car serviced. But this is part of the game. Divorce is so emotional, but your decisions cannot be rooted in those emotions.
It's not, you're not going to get to the other side that way. You have to think and react less. Let them say that your attorney is the problem. Cool. My attorney's the problem. Guess what? You were the problem in our marriage. Now my attorney's the problem in the divorce. Guess we all lose something. Let it go. Do not react unless you see a consistent pattern. And when you see a pattern, that is when you bring it to your attorney. Do not go and email your attorney the first time the other side says, well, your attorney isn't doing their job. Don't fall into that trap. Well, guess what? Now you've just cost yourself $150 by sending a one-line email. Congratulations. Now you're the fool.
And I guess we can end on that. Divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. So things don't have to be decided within 1 second. That's what they want from you. Don't fall into that trap. And if you need more community, we've got one. We've got many communities. We're on every platform, but join our private community on Facebook. It's very active. You can be completely confidential. You can get your questions answered. If you want even more information, go check out our DCC, our Divorce Crash Course. Again, when you buy it, it's confidential. There's also other workbooks that may help you on our website.
And also know that if you get to the point where you do need to switch counsels, we have episodes that hold your hand on how do I switch attorneys. Don't be the fool. I know that that might sound and feel harsh, but you have to own up to what you're doing in all of this. And like what we've said 100 times in this episode, yes, you are moving on from this marriage, but that control does not go away immediately. By listening to this podcast, you're taking a step in the right direction. Keep going. Keep thinking. Put those feelings in your box. Ew, not in your box. Put those feelings in a box where the cream rises to the top. And remember, you have got this.
And I'm going to say this, but I'm barely getting it out after that, Andrea. We have got you.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast shall not be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information heard in this podcast shall not and should not be used as legal advice.